The film Crazy Rich Asians earned $34 million in the U.S. in the first 5 days of its release. Black Panther earned more than $700 million in the States, only the third film in history to do so, both films with diverse casts. We're joined now by NPR TV critic Eric Deggans, who's been thinking about this. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
And usually your beat is television, but I know you follow the film industry as well. And you say we should not be surprised that these films with diverse casts have been doing so well.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, at UCLA, they have several studies that have shown that films and TV shows that have diverse casts tend to do better financially. And I think the lesson from Crazy Rich Asians, its success, and also the success of Black Panther, is that there is a hunger out there among film audiences for films that feature non-white casts that are culturally authentic and that also, you know, seem to be capturing something really special about the culture, about how we're talking about these issues, and about how this stuff is playing out in society. And so I think, you know, this idea that there's a risk in featuring big movies with non-white casts is maybe an outdated idea, because what we're seeing really is that there's a hunger out there for audiences for these films if they're done right, and if they're done with care.
Well, let's listen to a little bit from Crazy Rich Asians. I haven't seen it yet, but this is a scene in which a group of Singapore matriarchs have their Bible study interrupted by the latest gossip.
Is Nikki bringing a girl to Colin's wedding? My Amanda heard it from her friend Francesca.
Eddie says her name is Rachel Chu.
Oh, I thought that Nick was coming alone. Did you know he had a girlfriend?
Nick dates many girls. It's hard to keep track.
Rachel Chu. Or maybe she's from the Taiwan Plastics Chu family.
If you want, I have a private investigator. Very discreet.
Eric, this has been a box office and critical success, but it does seem like Hollywood is still surprised that it's done so well.
I think, again, like I said, I think it's part of that sort of outmoded way of thinking about these issues. I did get the sense, you know, watching the approach to the release of both this movie and Black Panther, that Hollywood was kind of holding its breath a little bit and was concerned that, you know, if these movies came out and they weren't successful, what would it say about how the movie-going public feels about movies that are centered on non-white casts and on non-white cultures. But I think the message that we've gotten is exactly, you know, the opposite. And I think some of the typical tropes that we've heard about films that are centered on non-white casts, this idea that they don't perform well overseas, this idea that white audiences wouldn't be able to identify with characters, with films that don't have very many white characters in them. You know, these ideas are put to the lie by the success of these films, and it just sort of shows that we need to rethink, and Hollywood in particular needs to rethink how it approaches these issues when it comes to developing films and when it comes to deciding which films are going to get big budgets.
I do remember, though, films like Slumdog Millionaire, even the comedy Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, two films with Asian characters, South Asian and East Asian characters in them.
Yeah, I think people wind up seeing those films as anomalies, but I think the message here is that we need to be more expansive, and Hollywood in particular needs to be more expansive in how it views how these characters can be created. One of the things that I've noted, you know, I wrote a book called Race Baiter, where I talk a lot about how race works in media. And there's, you know, African Americans seem to be the furthest along this continuum. You know, I'm African American myself, and we've had a lot of experience in dealing with how our culture is portrayed in TV and film. And there almost seems to be a progression to it, where you have very stereotypical images, and then you have films and TV shows that are centered on special characters, where you'll have characters of color who stand out, but they're surrounded by white casts. And then slowly you get to the point where you have more inclusive casting. And then you get to the point where creators of color, writers and producers and directors get a chance to tell their stories. And then you really get, a wide diversity of depictions. And I sort of feel like with Asians and in particular with Latinos, we're just now getting to the point where Hollywood is allowing creators of color from those those cultures to direct their own movies, to write their own movies. And so, you know, I feel like, you know, black folks have kind of been in this situation a little bit earlier, but now we're finally reaching that point with other non-white ethnic groups, and we're getting great movies out of it.
Well, speaking of African-Americans in film, let's talk about Black Panther, because this film did so well. $700 million in the U.S. That's only the third film in history to do that. As we said, here's a scene from it. Black Panther confronts his nemesis in front of the royal family of the film's fictional country, Wakanda.
Only reason I don't kill you where you stand is because I know who you are. Now, what do you want?
I want the throne. Y'all sitting up here comfortable. Must feel good. It's about 2 billion people all over the world that looks like us. But their lives are a lot harder. Wakanda has the tools to liberate them all.
That was such a great movie. I loved watching that film. What about, though, the difference? I mean, you as we said, usually cover television. Is TV doing a better job than film of representing diversity?
I think in terms of diversity in front of the camera, definitely we're seeing a better level of diversity in the cast. You know, I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles earlier this summer talking to the producers and actors and TV executives about the fall TV season. And, you know, we're going to see more shows centered on Latino characters than we've ever seen before. We're seeing lots of shows on the big broadcast networks that have diverse casts. It's not quite as rosy a picture behind the scenes when we look at people who are allowed to create their own shows, who are allowed to be the top executive producers, even among the directing ranks. You know, there's a lot of work to be done in diversity behind the scenes. And what's interesting, you know, we played that clip from Black Panther, and in that one clip, we get a sense of African culture portrayed. We get a sense of African-American culture
right.
portrayed. We get a sense of the tension between those two cultures. And I think this is what happens when you have a director, when you have script writers, and when you have a cast that is, of the culture that they're talking about. And so they're able to really kind of get in there and really talk about some of the nuances in a way that might be harder for people who are outside of that culture to depict. It's not impossible, but I do think that's the thing that you get, that authenticity that you get when you allow people of color to tell their own stories. And now Hollywood is learning that you can make money doing that, right? So if we're not seeing that happen as much as it should, even after we have example after example of movies making money by doing that, then you have to ask, well, why isn't it happening? And mm-hmm. I think it's because we still have some of these outdated stereotypes about why people will go to see a movie or who will go to see a movie. And we need to take more chances and we need to kind of dispel those ideas.
You know, we spoke to Moctezuma Esparza, who is the director of Selena, and he's opening up all of these movie theaters in Latino neighborhoods. And he asked me when we were talking to name one Mexican-American film star. And I named a couple of people, and it turns out that, in fact, they're not Mexican-American. They're Mexican. His point was that, you know, people like Salma Hayek, Guillermo del Toro, that we don't have a lot of Mexican-American stars in this country. We have people that have come in from other countries, from Latino cultures that have come into this country and made it big. But that was his point. It's an interesting point that in this country where we've got all this diversity, even on screen, it might not be what we think it is.
I think it points to how in America, our Hollywood system still is severely underrepresenting Latino and Hispanic actors. And it might be easier for somebody who's made a name for themselves outside the country, somebody who's already seeming to become an up-and-coming star or is kind of a star in the Latin American film market, to come to America and say, hey, I've already proven I can do this in Latin mm-hmm. America. Mm-hmm. Give me a shot at America. Whereas Mexican-American and Latino-American and Hispanic-American actors who are in America don't have that shot. And so they can't necessarily prove what they can do in the same way.
It's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans. Eric, thank you.
Always a pleasure.